Well, good morning and welcome to the roundtable for this Friday, the 7th of April. Very nice to have you with us. And, well, you're going to be even happier when I tell you who's on the program today. That'll make you really, really, really happy. We have an incredible panel, as we always do. Let me introduce them, then I'll let you know how you can get in on our conversation, and then we'll actually have said conversation. WAMC's Alan Chartok joins us. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Joe, and God bless Rob the engineer for the wonderful music every morning.
Yeah, good stuff, isn't it? What are you up to? Yep. Anything fun? Anything going on?
Who, me?
Yeah. Anything you want to share?
Huh?
No, all right. Just checking in.
I got a letter from a guy who said that he wrote a song about about me and the things that Festus would say, don't you see?
That was good. Congratulations. Hopefully we can hear the song. That would be great. We give it to Rob. He can use it as bumper music.
Yeah.
Libby Post is with us. She's usually here on Mondays, but she's here because Rosemary is out. Again, and she's out, and we're lucky to have Libby filling in.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you, and Barbara Smith joins us, author and activist.
Yay.
And dear friend, and we thank you. It's always good to see you.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. All right. Well, this, of course, happened yesterday late, I say late at night, but it happened about 8:30, 9 o'clock, which is, to many of us in this room is late, and it was the U.S. missiles hitting an airbase in Syria. President Trump said Thursday night that the United States had carried out a missile strike in Syria in response to the Syrian government's chemical weapons attack this week, which killed more than 80 civilians. Mr. Trump said in his remarks at the Mar-a-Lago estate in Florida, "Tonight I ordered a targeted military strike in the airbase in Syria from where the chemical attack was launched. It is in this vital national security interest of the United States to prevent and deter the spread and use of deadly chemical weapons." Mr. Trump, who was accompanied by senior advisors, including Steve Bannon, his chief strategist, Reince Priebus, his chief of staff, and his daughter Ivanka Trump, and others, said that his decision had been prompted in part by what he called the failures by the world community to respond effectively to the Syrian civil war. Alan, your thoughts will begin with you.
Well, Joe, there are so many implications here that it's extraordinary. The Russian thing, of course, comes first to my mind. Obviously, these are the same Russians who tried to get Trump elected president.
Right.
Or at least according to some very good information. The Trump people let the Russians know the missile strike was coming. We don't do missile strikes in other countries where kids are murdered regularly, some of the African countries and others, on a regular basis. So this is indeed targeted to, quote, the national interest. It comes on the same day as Gorsuch is basically assured of nomination to the Supreme Court, which is interesting because we always talk about the politics of distraction. But the president, at the same time all of that was going on, and I know we're going to get to it eventually in this program, is saying, okay, so we're going to get four more based on who's on the court, and that will mean that the Supreme Court of the United States, one of the coordinate branches, will be Republican and conservative for the rest of most of our lives, because he's going to appoint young people, and that's the way they do it. But okay, so back to the missile strike. He's going to get a lot of credit for this. I'm not one who wants to give him credit. However, I can tell you now that there is a certain decisiveness, and one could view this as his bearding the Russians and saying to the Russians, okay, if you think you can come back at us for this, you go right ahead and do it. And that's where the problem is. And one more thing, and then I'll shut up. And that is that sitting in Mar-a-Lago, of course, is the head of the Chinese dictatorship. And here we are basically seeing Trump saying, without saying, okay, we'll take out the Syrians who were protected by the Russians, or we can do that. And we could do that in other places. Hint, hint, North Korea, which will be much harder to do for him, by the way.
Libby.
Well, you know, his language last night, children of God, first of all, he read the teleprompter, so it was like so obvious. But his language last night was so clearly written by somebody like a Michael Pence, who wants to bring this religious aspect into everything he does. So that's one thing that really stuck out for me. But the other thing is that where was Donald Trump when that iconic photo of a toddler dead on a beach because of the refugees trying to flee Syria? Where was he then talking about the humanitarian needs of those people? What's going to happen now when the increase of refugees are going to be at the gates? More people will be fleeing Syria. Is he going to let them in? Or is he just going to bomb them?
Yeah, I'm really glad you said that, because the idea of him showing that he has compassion, that's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Somebody else had to write that statement
absolutely.
For him, because he's not capable. And there are other children, just as Alan pointed out, who are dying as a result of obliviousness and the neglect of U.S. foreign policy. And there are children who will and would die because of his policies. Let's not forget that just a few weeks ago, in order to get the Health Care Act through, they were willing to get rid of maternal and infant care and pediatric care. They were willing to get that out of people's health policies. How many children do you think would die as a result of that? And I've been saying since, you know, his crocodile tears, as far as I'm concerned, because he is so incredibly hateful. I've been saying ever since this atrocity occurred this week, do we have to get pictures? Is that what we need?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what we get him? You know, yeah. Do we need to go around to hospital rooms where kids that they had been regularly treated or had access to quality health care and they're dying? Is that what we need to do? Get a portfolio of pictures so that maybe he could get it? Because
yeah,
I don't believe it.
He needs a first grader's picture book is what he needs to understand what's going
yes,
on.
Yes, indeed. And,
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say one other thing, and that is we now have a pretty good idea why he had so many generals in his cabinet. Because the generals are running things
That's
right
true.
Now. This is very reminiscent of past adventures, military adventures, including Iraq, that this country has gone into, complete with Tomahawk missiles. But I think that the fact that those generals are up there, they're in control right now.
The other issue here from a real foreign policy point of view is, okay, so they are successful in bringing down Assad, which I don't think they will be. But if they are, and they create this vacuum, all they're going to do is create a vacuum for, you know, is extremists to take over. It might not be ISIS, but it could be some other group to take over, because that's what happens. They will go into
a vacuum and
fill it.
That's a brilliant insight, Libby. The fact is, they don't want to bring down Assad.
No, because the Russians want
that.
Assad there.
They not only the Russians, we want Assad there, because he's made it quite clear that he doesn't trust the so-called rebels at all. So what he'll do is he'll send the signal that we're not going to be silent when he does something really crazy. And by the way, there are signs in the papers this morning that the Russians weren't too happy with mm-hmm. a chemical attack either.
But
So he wants Assad there is my main point. And he'll take out this thing as a sort of spanking, but he doesn't want him out of there.
Well, and there's a lot of saber rattling going on, and with China there and North Korea, you know, this could be also a show to North Korea. Don't do anything stupid, because we will send some missiles your way.
And other people who are being paid.
No question.
There are other people who are being paid to say such things. I heard the very same thing mm-hmm. this morning.
Yeah. Right.
There's a couple aspects that I want to talk about in regards to what we did last night. First of all, Alan, I mean, so often when we, in the past, say, three decades, that we have talked about military action, when we have taken military action against other places for heinous acts or not, but There has always been that idea of who is with us and the coalition and bringing everybody together in these other countries. As Libby mentioned, I mean, last night in the words that President Trump spoke, made it very clear that we were pretty alone in this one. We were doing this solely.
Not so, obviously, though, because clearly somebody had been revving up the Allied comments. So, for example, Netanyahu was really fast to respond that he liked this. And so they can say we were alone. But on the other hand, when you do this kind of thing, you have to get as many people checking in with you and saying he did the right thing. So it's one thing to say we did it alone, but it's another to just sort of look and see who's voicing approval.
Well, I think Netanyahu would have jumped up and down and said yes to this, whether they told him or not.
Well, that's probably true. That's probably true because we know, you know, that the Syrians not only have the Russians, but they have the Iranians too. So you're right. And I thought of that. On the other hand, you know, if you reach out to the others and you tell them it's coming.
All right, got a couple of letters here, and actually, let's take a break. We'll stay on time for today. We'll take a break, and then when we come back, we'll do the letters and we'll talk some more about this issue. We'll be right back right after this.
Support for WAMC comes from Ward's Nursery and Garden Center, Great Barrington. Arriving daily, shrubs, fruit trees, perennials, pansies, and violas ready for planting. WardsNursery.com. The Spot 518, a weekly arts, entertainment, and cultural publication for the Capital Region, available online in newsstands and venues. TheSpot518.com. And MKC Kitchen and Bath Center, Troy, offering a range of cabinetry, including medallion cabinetry, countertops, design services, and showroom. MKCKitchens.com.
All right, let's go to some letters. This one from Sean, who said, Assad used sarin gas again so we could bomb the crap out of him. The first time he used sarin gas to give us pretext, Putin took care of it like a diplomat. The neocons and the Hillary Obama camp are pleased. Regime change continues. Trump had campaigned on Syria, Iraq, and Libya being mistakes. Anyone want to comment on that? Okay. Christopher writes from... Hillsdale. For myself, violence is a primitive base level action void of any high level thinking. I believe when you see violence, you see desperation. Question: is the military action against a sovereign nation, Russia backed Syria, an impeachable event, being that it did not have congressional approval? Well, no, right?
No, it didn't have congressional approval. I don't think he
Well, that's a very good
talk
point.
To them.
And when Obama asked for congressional approval, he didn't get it, if you may remember.
Right.
So this is politics in an area where politics should probably not exist, although that may be somewhat naive. You know, we're also getting beaten up. Joe, there's one letter here. I know you're in charge of letters, but I'm not sitting there. But sadly, as expected, says Shelley, you cannot give any credit where it is due. No matter what Trump does, you will always find fault. LP, your hatred and anger are embarrassing to the panel. Who's LP?
That would be Libby Post.
Libby Post.
Oh, or Libby Long Playing. Right. It's kind of one or the other.
Or both.
Or both, right.
Yeah, or
because I am. So.
If Hillary did this, by the way, said it should be done, you would praise her. How dare you accuse Trump of not being capable of feeling terrible when watching children die in Syria? Your hatred is very sad. You should be embarrassed.
Well,
is from Shelley.
I think she's attributing my remarks to Libby.
Well,
I think we both kind of said the same thing. Neither one of us think that he has a shred of character, and I am judging him overall. And I think that the record is very clear about what kind of potential human being he is, because I'm not convinced that he's the same as, you know,
you or me.
That, yeah, he might be his own species.
Right, but just yeah. to be clear, I'm not embarrassed.
Neither am I, not at all, because the thing is, at a certain point, people who have moral compasses and ethical standards have to call out what they see when it is atrocious, and he is an atrocious example of a human being.
And just to be clear,
whether he was president or not.
Damn.
But tell us how you really feel.
I read those letters because I think they have to. I wanted to read that letter because I think it's important that the other side
absolutely
get their voices in.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry.
Well, here's one from Chris who says, "Hello, panel. So the leader of the free world conducts an act of war and announces it to the people in a pre-recorded message." Well, I don't know from my understanding in the pre-recorded message, which please don't take what I'm about to say as a defense.
Was that pre-recorded?
Well,
yes.
It was pre-recorded. But what happened is because they're at Mar-a-Lago, they don't have the technology to be able to do the loop. So what happens is the people who are in the room then have to take the card out of the camera, put it into their thing, upload it, and send it back to D.C. or Washington.
That's insane.
Or D.C. or
They were able
New
to
York.
Do it live during the campaign. Why can't they do it now?
So... Well, because it was all last minute and so forth. But anyway, that is...
Or they don't trust them.
Right, but, well, that could very well be, too.
Or they don't trust them.
You know, that could very well be, too. In the sense of that they may... Now, there were reporters in the room. It was live to them, and then they were allowed to turn around the tape. And apparently it was about 7 to 10 minutes for those announcements to be made to when they were actually aired. But they were recorded.
That's outrageous.
Yeah.
That really is outrageous.
And
because it could have been
a number of
it could have been edited.
Well, no.
And
I know.
We've got a number of letters that say when a president is in bad political position, there's always a potential for doing this kind of thing.
Wag the dog,
and
right?
I was saying right. Mm-hmm. And I was saying to Roselle this morning that it's always the Lusitania or something like that that gets people's blood boiling to the point where they're willing to make these kinds of decisions to go to a war. But I don't think he wants to go to a war. I think he just wants to knock him out. I think he's got Putin with him on this one, to be honest with you. I don't think Putin wants a war here either. I saw something in the paper the other day, or maybe it was on CNN, where one of the military analysts was saying Russia is a third-rate military, has third-rate military capacity compared to the United States. That's interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, one nuclear missile of the right time, one hydrogen bomb, forget about who's got a stronger military.
Let's take a break and pause there. When we come back, we'll talk about all of this much more. We have more letters, plus we'll go on to other topics as well. We welcome your comments, panel at WAMC.org, panel at WAMC.org. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. It's the 7th of April, 9:35 on a Friday morning. Alan Chartok, Libby Post, and Barbara Smith make up the panel. And it is lovely to have you with us as well. Let me go to this letter and we'll start wrapping up on this subject and talk about other things in just a moment. But Greg says, "I'm not a hawk by any means, but I was extremely disappointed in President Obama's failure to act when the red line was crossed several times during his tenure. For once, I think Trump's decision, even if it butchers the explanation in a worthless speech following it up, I like Libby, but I was hoping to hear Rosemary on this matter." Well, Rosemary is out, so
I'm channeling.
Nothing we can do
Sorry.
About that.
Right.
But
but I'm glad you like me.
But as far as this idea of...
They like me. They really like me.
...of President Obama's quote-unquote failure, Alan, what do you make of that assertion?
Well, I think, first of all, as I said before, Obama did try. Mm-hmm. He went to the Congress and asked for permission, and they said no. And this is the guy who said we should leave the Syrians alone, Trump, that is, and that he didn't like the guys on the other side. I don't either, by the way. And that, you know, Putin was his best friend. So when you take all of this stuff together, this is rank hypocrisy. I woke up this morning and I found that he had gassed these children, and all of a sudden I think Assad is a terrible man. Terrible, terrible. We can't allow this to happen. Wag the dog.
I just want to say something before we move on. sorry to be hoarse this morning. I guess both of us are
suffering. Also,
we're both suffering.
We're dying here.
We're hacking.
Yep.
We're hacking during the breaks. You don't hear us. Anyway, I just wanted to submit something that usually is not a part of these discussions, which is why is it that the only way that people can figure out how to solve these kinds of problems is through more annihilation, more death, more violence. I decided to wear my Choose Peace button this morning because that's exactly how I feel about the matter. We are in such a spiral and have been for millennia that the only way that you can deal with conflict between people or nations is firepower. And it's not that, you know, if that's your premise, then what the president did has logic. But if you think that all war is and all violence is illogical and dehumanizing and unnecessary, then you might think about it another way. That's not the world we live in, but it's a world that I'm working for.
Right. And Barbara, I hear you. I hear you, and I respect you, of course. The question then becomes, if one side proceeds, does the other side stay silent when you and so many of us believe, you know, that peace has to be given a chance? And what do you do? I mean, if somebody dropped a bomb on you, would you retaliate, or would you say, oh, well, you know, peace at any cost?
Oh, no, it's not about not retaliating. It's about, I guess, you know, so here's a scenario. Half the world is wiped out by nuclear weapons. And then whoever is left comes together and says, we can't have this happen again. That's what the policy was and the hopes were after World War II, because nuclear weapons were indeed deployed in a limited fashion against one population in two different cities in Japan. And some people think that that did not really end the war, that it wasn't necessary to have done that to end the war. But there was a recognition that, oh, you can actually kill that many people in one fell swoop and have lasting horrific repercussions for the survivors. Maybe we should think about what we have, you know, access to. And foreign policy from that moment on, I think, was to avoid a nuclear holocaust. I don't know what it's going to take, because we're playing, it's like a set of dominoes, you know? I mean, the Middle East, you know, is a set of dominoes. Russia is involved. It's just crazy.
And
it's just
North
really
Korea.
Upsetting.
Right. And you can't underestimate or deny the fact that some of these people standing next to Trump are waiting for the great rapture. And, you know, that whole biblical thing of I don't know if it's called Armageddon or whatever it is, but, you know, the second coming, the whole everybody's going to get wiped out and only the good will survive. So, you know, they might be seeing this in more religious
apocalyptic terms.
But,
yes.
You know, just to go back to the politics.
Wait.
I just want to say to go back to the politics of this.
Sure.
On October 9th, 2012, Trump tweeted, now that Obama's poll numbers are in the tailspin, watch for him to launch a strike in Libya or Iran. He is desperate. Well, whose poll numbers are tanking now? Right?
Yeah,
Trump's
that's a very good point.
They're in the toilet.
But I wanted to go back to Barbara, only playing the devil's advocate with you, Barbara. If the North Koreans lob one, for example, at Japan, what would be the appropriate thing for the allies to do?
Well, the thing is, Alan, I think what you're not understanding is that I'm not talking about the current paradigm. Within the current paradigm, logically, there would be a retaliation. That's within the current paradigm. The way I'm thinking and the way I've always thought is, like, how can we get out of the current paradigm? Is there any scenario, is there any set of circumstances that we could actually begin to think about all of this in another way? I have no
answers
about that.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you have an answer?
No,
I don't have an answer for it, because I don't know.
You preempted me.
Yeah, I don't know what it would take to get people to that level of consciousness.
It would probably take what you said before. It would probably take a major annihilation, so that people, like with the Japanese example, say we can't, we've got to continue. But they'd probably be wearing loincloths at that stage, because it isn't only parts of the world that would end; it's probably most of the world.
Yes,
if not
that's the issue, because of the drift, you know, of nuclear, you know, the fallout.
All right, let's move on. Go ahead, Alan. Were you going to say something?
I was just going to say, probably give a surgeon, you know, a pair of scissors. The problem here is, in other words, give a surgeon a knife. He's going to do surgery. We have gotten ourselves into a stage where we have all these bombs around, and some lunatic is going to use one. And I'm betting that if the North we have people in societies who are willing to kill themselves, right? Mm-hmm. ISIS kill themselves. They killed 26 people today or something like that. They executed them in the desert by stabbing them to death, and then they do suicide bombing. What in the world would make us think that one of these idiots wouldn't do exactly that with a nuclear weapon? Do you see where I'm going?
Absolutely.
Yes, I do, Alan.
We have just...
And that is what is so scary.
We have just a few moments before we go over to a break, and I do want to talk about what else is happening at Mar-a-Lago, which is where all of this decision-making has taken place regarding the military attack on Syria. However, also, let us not forget that the reason for going there was for the president to have a very high-stakes summit with the Chinese leader. President Xi arrived in Florida for face-to-face meetings, and obviously armed with a full agenda of U.S. concerns, but only modest expectations for results. They are set to huddle for 2 days on the grounds of Mar-a-Lago to discuss economic issues and, more significantly, worries about North Korea's increased pace of nuclear development and ballistic missile tests. Alan.
Well, now, I think the assumption that the agenda is what you just said, especially the first part about trade, the rest of it, was what they were going to talk about. But I don't think you can mistake the fact that the head Chinese guy is in Mar-a-Lago when these strikes happen.
Right.
I think that may really turn out to be the agenda.
Yeah, we're not afraid, and we're not afraid of you either.
But do you think that could possibly be planned? I mean, are you saying
yes,
that?
Yes, oh yeah.
So you're saying it couldn't be planned on the basis of when the chemical attacks happened.
Was.
But what you're saying
no.
is that because the Chinese leader, President Xi, was there, and they knew he was going to be there, they said, wonder how it would be in our interest and to our advantage to show real strength and power when they're sitting right up here on our property.
Well, we can't forget that. Yep. That Trump likes the strong man form of everything.
Of course.
And that's what he's showing. He's showing the Chinese he's a strong guy, and I've got the toys, and I'm a boy, and I'm going to use it.
Right.
The art of the deal.
Mm-hmm.
So beyond that, there are still the issues on hand, number one being North Korea. So we can assume there will be discussions on that.
But don't you think that this was a lesson for North Korea also? If we're willing to do it in Syria, we're willing to do it to the North Koreans. And you happen to be sitting next door to the Chinese. Either you've got to do it, or we'll do it like we just did it.
Absolutely.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll go. Were you going to go ahead, Alan?
Nope.
Okay.
I'm fine.
All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk, which Alan brought up earlier, we want to talk about the nuclear option and the Neil Gorsuch vote, which is expected today at 11:30. And we'll talk about that when we come back right after this.
Support for WAMC comes from the Linda, WAMC's Performing Arts Studio, presenting a range of programming for the arts and community, thelinda.org. Capital Smiles, Doctors Aaron Page and Shiloh Lieberman, providing dental health services, including in-office IV sedation for patients with dental anxiety, creating a better dental experience, capitalsmiles.com. And Adelphi University's Hudson Valley Center, where registered nurses can seek a bachelor's, one day weekly, to accommodate working nurses with live, online, and blended classes, adelphi.edu/nursing.
Thank you.
Good morning. Welcome back. Senate Republicans on Thursday engineered a dramatic change in how the chamber confirms Supreme Court nominations, bypassing a Democratic blockade of Judge Neil Gorsuch in a move that will most likely reshape both the Senate and the court. We've been talking about this over the last week and a half. After Democrats held together Thursday morning and filibustered President Trump's nominee, Republicans voted to lower the threshold for advancing Supreme Court nominations from 60 votes to a simple majority. In deploying the so-called nuclear option, lawmakers are fundamentally altering the way the Senate handles one of its most significant duties, further limiting the minority's power in a chamber that was designed to be a slower and more deliberative body than the House. The vote is still expected. We have not heard a change on this. It's still expected to take up about 11:30 this morning. Alan.
Well, you know, gang, one of the biggest black eyes that Franklin Delano Roosevelt got, let's do a little history here,
yes,
was over the court packing. He wanted to name justices of his own, because remember, the conservatives were running the court at the time. He wanted to name a justice of his own for everybody over 70. And it was so appalling to the American people, to the Congress, even his Democratic majorities, that everybody said, no, we don't have the stomach for this. However, the conservative judges eventually died, got off, and he got his way. But let's remember court packing and the reaction to that court packing. It's one of the worst moments that Roosevelt had in his entire time. Guess what, everybody? Just been done. And you're looking at Syrian rockets going on, rockets going to Syria, and at the same time, and by the way, I hope nobody's going to write a letter and say it was the Democrats' fault because they didn't confirm Gorsuch. Wait a second. You mean, as Mario Cuomo used to say, wait a second. You mean to say that the next one wouldn't have been the same thing, that the line had been drawn here? I'm telling you, this is murder, and it has changed the face of United States politics and government forever, because now you are creating an oligarchy in the Senate, right? Where in the court, where forever there'll be one guy at the head who calls off the rules when it's convenient for him to call off the rules. And now you got a House, which is already an oligarchy, and you're going to have a Senate, which is the same.
It's an absolute threat to our democracy. I don't think there's any other way to put it. You know, the Supreme Court is the place where we're supposed to look to for nonpartisan judicial decision making. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but at least there was always the sense that the conversation and the deliberation around Supreme Court justices was serious and not a partisan decision. And this makes it totally, totally partisan. And just, you know, it's just a threat. It's just a threat to our democracy.
Wait. Libby, do you mean to say that you don't think that this has been this partisan divide has been there for years?
Oh, no, I think it has been. But this is like the last stand.
Yes,
this was the last
domino
to drop in their ability to control everything. And, you know, I've always said it, every single presidential election dating back to 2000, it's the Supreme Court, stupid, you know, because it is. And, you know, Gorsuch could end up being sort of like William Kennedy or even John Roberts, where he will actually see things and deliberate, or he could end up being like Scalia and just be on the right wing and that's it. And God forbid Ruth Bader Ginsburg gets sick or more sick, and William Kennedy wants to retire, and you know, it's as you said, Alan, the court can be packed, and this will have an impact on our lives for generations,
for decades, yes,
generations. And women will die because they will overturn Roe v. Wade. It'll go back to the states, and women will die, and children will die. And you will see the kind of carnage and disregard for human life that was what this country was all about, you know, right after World War I and before the Depression, how, you know, we'll have more tent cities. We'll have people thrown out of their homes because of the decisions they'll be making.
Not to pick on you, but just
right ahead.
Justice Anthony Kennedy, not William
right,
Kennedy.
Not William Kennedy. He's somebody else. Right, sorry.
I was only trying to head off the letters.
Okay. I saw him the other night when...
I said, that ain't right.
Sotomayor, when she was here.
Yeah, William Kennedy... Yeah, could be on this brief. Yeah, would make a great justice.
Yeah, it would be great.
It's not.
Yeah. Okay, Anthony Kennedy, my apologies.
No problem. All right, so let us. I'm sorry. Were you going to say? Did you have anything to?
I really have nothing to say except to concur with my colleagues here on the panel because it is an absolute disaster.
So
voting rights too.
Oh, everything.
Yeah,
everything.
Civil rights too.
Right, and the augustness of the Senate has now been destroyed because it used to be a place where, yes, it's been very partisan the last, you know, since Gingrich did Contract on America, bipartisanship went on a boat somewhere and flowed down a river. But at least in the Senate, there was this sense that you could have some type of bipartisan conversations. I mean, you know, Ted Kennedy and Orrin Hatch were close and they worked together on things. You know, but there's no more reaching across the aisle, and it's just it's our democracy is at stake.
Alan, do you agree the fact that at some point, maybe not in the immediate future, but at some point, that the Republicans, that the tide will turn and the Republicans will regret having made this decision?
Mm-hmm. Except that they're going to put 40-year-olds on the court. And Trump was bragging, I think yesterday, I heard about it, I didn't hear it directly, that he was going to get four appointments.
Yeah.
Four appointments at 40 years old.
I asked...
So 50 years from now. Meantime, let me just finish this one thought here, because I'll forget it otherwise. Meantime, Democrats are appointing people to the court, one of whom has juvenile diabetes, right?
Yes.
Sotomayor, doesn't she have diabetes?
Yes, she has.
And people who are in their 50s. Every time you do that, you are losing 10 years of Supreme Court. So, and of course, our wonderful Ruth Bader Ginsburg, she's really old. She's had major operations for things that most people die with. And holding on for dear life, as I guess Libby or Barbara just said. So there's got to be a little bit of logistical smartness about what you're doing. I'm sorry, Joe, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it just seems to me when even for the Republicans that you look and say, okay, this works for us now, but what will this mean in the future? Who knows what's going to happen? But to see the smirk on Mitch McConnell's face he was leaving the chamber yesterday, I did wince.
I was going to point that out. There's a picture in the New York Times story of him leaving, and he's doing something
12%.
Never see him doing, which is actually genuinely smiling. He's as happy as he can be.
Mm-hmm. And Alan, you were making a great point.
Well, Joe, you're absolutely right. Sooner or later, the Democrats, because there are more Democrats in this country, maybe someday they'll come out and vote. But this is 50 years. We're talking, they just bought themselves for a minority party in the country. They just bought themselves 50 years. Think about that.
Well, and what they did.
Sorry, Libby, but Alan started to say this, and I think it's important, is that Mitch McConnell with a what percentage point approval rating, Alan?
It's 12 points
so.
Approval rating. And let me say something. I know this is going to be seen as unkind, but right now I'm willing to vote for him as the worst person in the world.
We can have another vote tomorrow, but for today, he wins.
Right. what this does in this 40 years or 50 years on the Supreme Court is put people who will no longer be demographically in the majority in this country in control of our laws, which is exactly what they want.
That is a really smart point.
Not necessarily.
What?
Not necessarily. Well, I'm not so sure it's so smart. I mean, take a look at Clarence Thomas. Well,
there's a
guy like that available to fit the demographic.
But no, the point that Libby is making is that the only people who Trump is going to appoint are white males. That's
right.
You know, his cabinet reflects that.
I don't know that you're right. They'll find a black man like Clarence Thomas, right, who will say what they want him to say.
They found Ben Carson.
Which they did. So don't talk. What'd you say? That's right. Exactly.
Yeah, but just because he chooses a Ben Carson type or a Clarence Thomas type. Those people, they
represent the interests of the
right,
other people.
Right. They represent the, and they identify more with the other people, with white men,
absolutely,
than they do
they
with
do.
Their own community.
Absolutely,
well,
they do.
Well, you guys aren't going to get a fight out of me about that. I mean, that's my whole point. But when Libby says something like demographically correct, well, it depends whether you're talking about emotional demographics or political demographics or color of the skin demographics.
I'm talking about the color of the skin demographics and the fact that white people will soon be a minority in this country.
Color of the skin.
Right. I agree.
Color of the skin demographics, also known as race.
Right.
Yeah. Color. It's not about color.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's go to some letters.
Oh, that's interesting. No, that's very interesting what you just said. Can I stay with it for a minute,
yes.
Barbara? Barbara's point, and I think it is a very good one, is that race is made up of not only the color of your skin, but your attitude. Is that
no,
right?
No,
oh, no.
Your historical origins and your political status in whatever nation state you inhabit. That's what race comes down to. It's not about color of skin, because you look at different populations who have different ethnicities and different national origins, and they have similar skin tones. So it's not about skin tone. It's about what is your heritage and social status, political status, your heritage, and what is made of that status within the nation state you inhabit.
Okay, just for clarification, let's go back to Clarence Thomas. Where does he fit in?
He's a black American. He is a black American with right-wing very, very oppositional views to the majority of people within the African-American community. But he's definitely African-American. He's just carrying water.
Well, there's no question about that.
I mean, it's like all the white women who voted against Hillary Clinton. It's internalized misogyny. It's like gays who hate themselves and work against the community. It's internalized homophobia. He's got his own internalized stuff.
Right.
You know, and,
right.
and you know, he probably hates portions of himself. And acts like and emulates what he thinks is the right thing, which
well,
is
and I would say and I would say as a black person, I wouldn't even get into the self-hatred explanation of why he functions the way that he is and why he believes what he believes. There have always been people in the African American community who
indeed
are conservative,
mm-hmm.
But the thing is that they don't necessarily deploy it in a way that changes and affects everybody's legal options for generations.
Right.
We have a ton of letters. I want to get to those plus other topics as well. We need to take a news break. So we will be back right after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable panel for this Friday morning, the 7th of April. Very nice to have you with us. Alan Shartok, Libby Post, and Barbara Smith make up the panel. I'm Joe Donahue, and we thank you for your letters. We got a ton of letters, so if it's okay with everybody, I want to go through as many of these as we can get to in a few minutes before we move on to some other
Absolutely.
Topics. All right. Bob Absolutely. Says, I think the Republicans changing the rules in the middle of the Supreme Court game could be applied to sports. I see NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell saying at halftime during the Super Bowl, you know, the Giants are winning. Let's only play three quarters.
Good letter.
Martin says, if the opportunity ever arises, the Democrats should readopt Roosevelt's court packing idea and add more seats and give them to liberal justices. It's not only appropriate because of the stolen seat, but it's also the only thing that will save us from a lifetime conservative stranglehold in our country. A stranglehold.
You know, that's a great letter. I hadn't, in fact, thought about that. But yes, if Mitch McConnell is capable of changing these rules the way he has, then the Democrats, when in office, and that may be a long time, should do the same thing. I think that it's the only way back. Now, Barbara may have a different view on this because she's for peace. But I think there are times to really, really strike back. Sorry, Barbara.
Damn you and your
right.
peace thing.
Now, there's a difference between deploying weapons and missiles and political, you know, gamesmanship.
Okay, I apologize.
Good shot, though, Alan. Good shot.
All right. Corey writes, you guys are some of the most paranoid people I've ever heard. Democracy at stake? Women will die? Holy smokes. I thought it was us libertarians who were supposed to be the ones wearing tinfoil hats.
Yeah.
Well, if you're the libertarian, then you certainly don't think that a woman should not be given a right to control her own body. Right? Libertarian?
Walk a mile in our shoes and then talk to us.
Mike writes, why didn't Allen complain when the Democrats changed the rules for lower courts or when the Democrats blocked a Supreme Court nominee when Bush was a lame duck? Double standards.
Not really. You didn't hear me saying anything about it. And I'll tell you the truth. I agree with that letter. I think it was a bad mistake. And in terms of retrospect, it was certainly a bad mistake.
Janice writes us and says, you are so naive, panel, or you won't admit the truth. You actually think Assad would be stupid enough to use gas on his own people knowing the repercussions?
Yes.
He was set up in
order before.
He was set up in order to destabilize the relationship between Trump and Russia. Can't you see this? Please don't take us for fools.
Who ordered him to do it? Putin?
I'm just reading the
letter.
I'd like
the answer to that.
Just reading the letter.
Everybody, we love your letters, and we love your letters, and it's fine. You can write anything you want, but that doesn't mean we're fools.
Okay. We go to Juan, who says, every indication, we now move on to some Syria letters. Juan writes, every indication from Syria suggests that Assad was winning the war. If this is true, why would he use chemical weapons? Why risk international condemnation? It doesn't make sense. Joshua says, so Obama asked for congressional support before bombing and doesn't get any support. Trump bombs without asking for congressional support and gets congressional support. So with that, Trump spends millions of missiles to protect the children he wants to deprive from foreign aid.
I was thinking, how much do those Tomahawk missiles cost? Do we know? They're a lot of money, millions of dollars, right?
I've never purchased one.
And what I wanted to say, not only preventing them from receiving foreign aid, but from entering the country. There's a moratorium on refugees at this point.
Yeah, so where are those people going to go?
And what I wanted to say is that every time you fire one of those missiles, you got to replace it.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Don't you see?
I do see. I'm asking this question. How much does a Tomahawk missile cost? And the answer that comes up is, of all variants, of the combined, a stockpile. Okay. We have 3,500 of them that are worth $2.6 billion. So you do the math. Okay.
Yeah, I wish we had a mathematician on the program sometimes, don't you?
Don't look at me. I got 67 on my math 11 regents in 12th grade.
Right, we were all arts people. Okay,
right.
Alyssa in Northampton says, I applaud Barbara and Libby for speaking the truth about Trump and his crocodile teleprompter tears. Trump derided Chuck Schumer for having a so-called fake emotional response, but the real fake is our current president, illegitimate president, Alyssa writes. Okay, Trump taking this action did not happen in isolation of all his other acts. The very act of managing an act like this from a hotel is just poor judgment, typical of his incompetent, impulsive behavior. He may have been moved or not by pictures of dead children, but lashing out unilaterally is not the act of a competent, thoughtful leader. Taffy writes, am I insane to think these military strikes are more diversion from the Trump-Russia connection? Well, Alan, you were making that point earlier.
I was.
Jules says there.
I was. I think.
Go ahead.
Go. I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
Go ahead. Jules. Answer that, and I will, because I'm now going to type in the word single
into my
Google search.
I think there is so much. There's so much to the Russian Trump connection that there's all kinds of diversion going on from it. We know from the very beginning all the Trumpites were meeting with the Russians, now they call them Russians, before they call them Soviets, same people. He was meeting with all of those people. They were meeting with all those people. Trump was saying great things about the Russians. He's a good man, and we do bad things, and as well as they do bad things. And the whole thing was going, and it was going sour. And in the United States Senate, where the Republicans are willing to put up with almost anything, they're not willing to put up with, the business with the Russians. So one has to really take a very close look at this. This seems to me to be an ideal PhD thesis for somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
I looked this up, and this is what is what I found, and I'll try to cite the source here in a second. But so yesterday, the president ordered the launching of 59 Tomahawk missiles on the Syrian military airfield. According to the U.S. Department of Defense's annual budget, a single Tomahawk missile costs $1.59 million. Combine that by the 59 missiles the U.S. ordered to be fired off two warships in the Mediterranean Sea, and you're looking at a bill of around $94 million. So,
and just think what we could pay.
That answers that.
With that.
Please.
Julia says there is something seriously amiss when we seem to ignore the killing and maiming of many thousands of children by the indiscriminate bombs and bullets of war and only find it acceptable when the slaughter is by poison gas. Laura says, I do not believe that Trump was horrified by the chemical attack, even with pictures. I think that he realized that the public was horrified, not to mention that a distractor was welcome. Hooray for Barbara and Libby. It is good to hear truth spoken with such frankness and incisiveness. It was obvious that Trump's remarks were not written by him. No hyperbole. Barbara, I started following you on Twitter last week, and I will look for Libby there now. So there you go. So
well, you'll get more of me on Facebook, but I am on Twitter.
And I did hear from the lovely Roselle, you know,
yes,
to whom I'm married, saying,
yes,
God bless those two women. God bless those two.
And God bless you, Roselle.
Yes. Anthony writes, a couple of things to note. Didn't we just kill about 50 civilians in Iraq accidentally? Why is it worse that Assad used chemical weapons? Several civilians were also just killed by last night's attack in Syria. Mm-hmm. Worth it? Question mark. Today's jobs numbers, hours after airstrikes, are anemic. Coincidence? Again, wag the dog. James writes, if only there was some cognizant type of policy the president had to allow war refugees from Syria into our country after vetting. If only there was some type of order that the president could sign to allow those gas victims and others to escape to come here. Too bad compassion is only in the form of a Tomahawk missile.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Exactly the point I was trying to make. That person made it so much better.
That is the mailbag for the moment and what we can get to. So let us move on to some other stories. And I want to get to, I read this one last night and I so wanted to hear Alan talk about it. So I'm gonna bring it up. The Pre-Pararo story in the New York Times. Nearly a month after he was fired by the Trump administration, Pre-Pararo, the former U.S. attorney in Manhattan, remains mystified by the circumstances of his ouster, saying he had never been told why President Trump changed his mind about wanting him to stay on. In his first interview since he was forced out, Pararo said this week that the firing was part and parcel of what he characterized as the chaos that has defined some of the administration's decisions. The quote that came out of this article, and it's a good one, a direct example of the kind of uncertain, helter-skelter incompetence when it comes to personnel decisions and executive actions that was in people's minds when this out-of-the-blue call for everyone's resignation letter came. Alan.
Helter-skelter indeed. The idea that he was asked to stay on. Now, when was he asked? During the election, Trump, thinking he needed every vote he could get, went ahead and said, Pararo was a good man, he ought to be kept. And then he had to keep his word. But then he began to hear from...
Was that during the election, or was that right? Was that
afterwards?
Before the inauguration, right?
Both. No, it was both, Joe. He said during the campaign, he said Pararo was a good man, ought to be kept.
Okay.
But then he said, you know, after he was elected, then he said, I guess he ought to be kept. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't think I am. I think
I'm
right
about this.
No, that's
fine. I'm just checking.
My historical thought is not always great, as you know. And then the idea that he did call him in, kept his word, kept him, and then I suspect, and so does the New York Times and others who did a story about what people might be, what might have gone into the decision, a whole bunch of healthcare stuff where his new pick for the health department head was involved in an investigation where other things like that, insider trading and the rest, were all being discussed, and that Trump picked up the phone in violation of all of the norms that exist with U.S. attorneys and called Trump three times. Called a U.S. attorney three times, Preet Bharara. So what does that mean? It means that he was looking for something. And when Bharara said, well, what can I help you with, Mr. President? Oh, well, nothing. The third time, he didn't pick up the phone on the advice of counsel. He did not pick up the phone from the president. And then he gets fired. Surprise.
Let's go to
and the question is, does he get Joe? I'm sorry. And then the question is, does he run for political office?
Right.
He
so
said
now
to
what?
Me and at the Linda Norris, he's not born to run. He said it again at the New York Times, not born to run. But every politician says, I'm not born to run until I'm born to run.
Well, and do you think? I mean, at the time when he said that, he probably didn't expect to be fired either.
Yeah, no. Right.
Well, one never knows. One never knows. He would be a great candidate. A great candidate.
For which office, Alan?
For example, governor in a primary against Cuomo. Now, we know his numbers. Bharara's numbers are not that good. In other words, not that he's thought of badly, but that a lot of people still don't know him.
Yeah.
And that, again, is a problem with
you just get behind him, Alan. Everybody will know him.
Yeah, at least three.
Because I know you really like him.
I love him. In a way, only a man can love a man. So a little bromance
is what you're saying.
Yeah.
But there are other ways a man can love a man, my dear. Just don't forget that.
I know you stepped in it as soon as you said it. Because if you didn't, somebody else would have.
Right.
Well, moving on very quickly, I'm going to read a letter from Tracy, who says, good morning, panel. I think this is an interesting letter. Good morning. Do you think there's any chance between Syria and North Korea situations that Trump could reinstate the draft?
Oh, well, that would be another way of making sure that white men stay in the majority in this country. Reinstating the
how do you figure?
Draft. Well, because so many, who goes?
Because so many people of color,
end up in the army,
right?
You know,
Yes,
I do.
You think if you send black people to vote to fight, they won't be here to vote? Is that what you're saying?
No, that's not. You explain it.
It's about who can manage to avoid the draft, like Donald Trump. He managed to avoid the draft. And
no question.
White people with means are able to avoid the draft. And if we had a draft, it would be mostly people of color and white working class people.
Right.
Because, you know, last night I watched this thing on a local station about the history of the Irish. And they talked about the riots that happened in New York. And there was a demonstration here when people were able to pay $300 to not serve in the Civil War.
Yes, the draft riots.
Right,
the draft riots.
Yes. Right. And so we've been having that, but a lot more quietly for a very long time in this country.
And during the war in Vietnam, you had an exemption, is it true, if you were in college? And at a certain point, there was a lottery?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes, there was a lottery.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It was really very fraught.
I'd like to say, before we go, before Joe calls time on us,
yes,
I'd like to say two things. Number one, you're right, Libby. I did step into it, and I did not mean what I was stepping into. But there is a certain smell that emanates from
it. We love you, Alan. It's okay.
I know that. But, you know, it's better to preempt the letters by apologizing than to have to be defensive. Have to be defensive about it. You know, I meant to me.
No,
you know,
I
as a
understand.
Straight man.
Yeah.
May I make a suggestion?
Understand.
Move on.
Yeah, shut up.
Just move on.
You are so right.
All right. So
let's talk about Don Rickles.
I was just going to say,
since we're dealing with insults.
Okay, so just two quick things I want to mention. One is that we've been getting a number of letters that said that actually the Tomahawk missile cost $500,000, but still it's a lot of money. So I don't know where that figure came from, but still I don't know. The one we were getting was from the Defense Department. I don't know where that other figure came from, but that's fine. If it's
what,
only
you think
$500,000,
the Defense Department would lie?
Look, if we get them cheaper, that's great. Good for us.
Yeah.
Also,
by the dozen.
Also, we did get a funny letter from Rob, who said, "Oh, great. Joe's looking this up. Now all he's going to see is ads for Tomahawk missiles every time he goes online."
It's true.
So that's great.
And let me know if you can buy one.
Yeah, we have about a minute.
Well, wait a second.
Go ahead.
Well, yeah, no, but wait a second. Even before you go to Don Rickles, very quickly, I was just asking Roselle this morning, how do the Facebook people know which picture is important to you? They said the memory pictures. Isn't that scary? Well, isn't it scary that they know which picture is particularly meaningful to Alan Chartok or Barbara Smith or somebody else?
It's data mining, and it's how much you liked it, and it's all kinds of things.
I think it's also based on how many people liked it, right?
Yeah, how many people liked it?
Oh, I see.
So,
okay.
Sure.
I got it. Okay. Go to Don Rickles.
Well, we're just
he'll insult your mother.
We're out of time, but we're gonna have a remembrance of Don Rickles later on. We did an interview with him 2001 in March, and we'll play a portion of that coming up later on in the show. But very funny man. Who
is there anybody you haven't interviewed, Joe?
Oh yes.
I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, you try to get them before they die, and then you can do the obits. It's pretty
that's the way it usually works.
That's right.
So you've interviewed us, so now you can do the obits. So.
Alan,
Rosemary, and Asepsia.
Alan, Libby,
hey,
Barbara.
LP.
Right, long playing.
Have a beautiful weekend. Thank you very much
you
for
too.
Being with us. We'll continue with the roundtable after this.